Joining us now is Elliot Friedman, 32 Thoughts Podcast and Sportsnet, who normally joins us on a Thursday, but given the Ryan McDonough news, we had to get Elliot on a little bit earlier in the week. So, Elliot, appreciate your flexibility with us this week. Your initial reaction to the news of the Ryan McDonough trade, what does this mean for the Predators, and what does this mean for the Tampa Bay Lightning?
It's basically come to knowledge now, based on what Barry Trotz said yesterday, that this was something that McDonough brought up, and you know, could he potentially go back to Tampa, or could that even be explored, or would that ever be explored, and he would consider doing it. And it's pretty clear Trotz just went to the Lightning and said, "Look, we have a player we really respect. We know you think highly of too. Would you want to do something with this?" And he said, "Look, I'm not going to make it hard on you, but you have to do something fair." And it was interesting that Trotz used the word fair, because it's pretty obvious he went to the Lightning and said, "As long as you're willing to be reasonable here, we can get something done if you want to do it." And that obviously happened. So, what it says to me is that you guys want a lot of flexibility to do a lot of things. You still don't want to retain salary, because, you know, you've already used a couple of your slots for that, and you still have Ryan Johansson for next season. It's a situation where, I think Barry Trotz clearly has some plans out there, some things he wants to do, and he wants as much flexibility as he can to do it.
And that's certainly what Barry Trotz now has. I mean, he is armed with picks and with cap space, now $7 million freed up in the cap, 5 second-round picks over the next two drafts, 3 first-round picks over the next two drafts. And of course, Barry Trotz can just choose to stick and pick and say, "Hey, we get more throws at the dartboard. That means more potential Roman Josis or Luke Evangelistas that were found in the second round." But Barry Trotz joined our station yesterday and said it's more likely that he's going to use those and package for a trade deal now that the Predators freed up, like I said, $7 million in cap space that they're not paying Ryan McDonough. So who would be potentially available on the market that the Predators could make a swing for now, given that they have more picks and more cap space?
Well, I answer your question first, Carolyn, with a question. What did you say about free agency?
He said, if I remember correctly, and as you know, Elliot, Barry Trotz is very detailed with his answers, which doesn't always work well with the clock on Sports Talk Radio, but we let him talk because it's so informative. Yes, no question.
I will take that over the alternative.
But he said obviously when you $6.75 million for this year and next year that just opened up, he said we were going to have to be a little more careful in free agency. Now we have a little more space to go after some different guys. So I think he definitely said that's he said we have all of these options: the draft capital, the prospect pool, and now a lot of cap space, so we have flexibility to go improve the roster.
Well, I think you guys are looking for centers. There are some centers who are going to become available in free agency. Lindholm from Vancouver, who didn't have a great year but had a very good playoff. I sit on the pod today. I could see you guys being in on someone like Zadorov, who, you know, without McDonough on your blue line, it's not that your blue line is weak or anything like that. I wouldn't want to say that. You've got the hit king there, Lauzon. But you certainly lose, like McDonough's a hell of a player who played really well. And he's someone who was physical, although, you know, not like a punishing hit or anything, but he was a grind to get through. You know, Trotz has talked about, making your blue line a bit tougher to play against, and a guy like Zadorov would certainly fit. Although, again, he's going to have a lot of interest in there after him. I look at a guy like Chandler Stephenson. That's a name that certainly jumps into my head. Center from Vegas.
Yes.
He seems like that. Like he's a Western Canadian too. Barry Trotz has a prejudice, a fun one towards Western Canadians. Right. That is one.
And of course, he played for Barry Trotz in Washington. So there's a deep background there.
He absolutely knows him. That is a name I would be looking at. You know, trade-wise, I think they're, you know, honestly, I know everyone's focusing on Marner. You know, I look, there's going to be a lot of teams calling you guys because you guys have cap room and you have picks. There's no question in my mind that teams are that are going to be looking for teams that are going to be looking for cap room are going to be calling you guys and saying, hey, you know, what are you looking at out there? What do you need? You know, another guy I kind of wonder about, and I'd have to look at your depth chart a bit, is someone like Dakota Joshua from Vancouver. He's a winger. He's not a center, and he's not a big scorer. But, you know, he's the kind of guy I could see Trotz liking on his team. So that's another one there. But, you know, the trade targets, Carolyn, I really have to start going through this. But I recognize the Marner noise. And at this point in time, I would say it is noise. But, you know, it will come to be a point where that could be a thing. You know, other than that, I'd probably have to sit down and look at it a bit more.
All right, let's address the Marner thing, because on the pod this morning, Elliot, you answered a question I had in my mind. This guy has a full no trade. They just changed coaches, brought in a pretty heavyweight coach in Craig Berube, who's got, as we like to say, skins on the wall, right? He's got a lot of credibility. Yep. And he might have a few things to say. He'd say, look, I think I can get more out of this guy. He could do that. And you also said they also, even if they want to keep him, have got to sit down and talk with him about another contract. Because just like Saros here, July 1, they could extend him, right? So what's the timetable here? Because we're putting the cart before the horse. In fact, Barry Trotz was asked, and he had to laugh at the question and say, look, Mitch Marner is not a free agent. He's under contract. I can't answer a question about him. He did acknowledge that he hears the noise, as you call it.
He's an open book, but he's a rule follower.
Right.
Yes.
So,
well, he doesn't want to get that, you know, he doesn't want that fine. You know, I'm sure the Predators pay him very well, but he doesn't want that tampering fine.
But the cart is ahead of the horse. If they haven't even gone to Mitch Marner and say, okay, would you consider being traded? And if so, can you give us a list of teams that you might like us to call, that kind of thing? Like, how would that process work, and when will that process start?
I think that process is going to start pretty soon. I mean, you know, we're heading into the last week of May, and the draft is in a month. And, you know, Toronto would obviously like to know well before free agency if there's anywhere that Marner is willing to consider heading into the last year of his contract. I just don't think people recognize how tremendously complicated a process that this could end up being with Marner. I think it's volatile. Because I think for one thing, he's got a no move clause, which he's earned, and there is a sense that he's willing to wield it. Number two, you know, his agent is a guy by the name of Darren Ferris, and his history is to walk his guys right to unrestricted free agency. He believes that that is a right a player has earned, and he likes to walk them there to keep their options open. Now, doing that, you know, the Toronto could say, fine, if you want to do that, you won't be getting an eighth year on your contract from us. Because, you know, you'll lose a year. Toronto could say, that's the way we're not playing ball. Toronto could say, that's fine. We'll have him play out the year and we'll see where it's going. And I think if Marner stays in Toronto, or his contract asset in Toronto could potentially be higher than it is anywhere else, given their salary structure. So there's a lot of balls in the air here. Now, first of all, any team that's going to try to trade for Marner is going to want permission to talk to him, to know what he's thinking about contract-wise. So I don't think we're at that point yet. You know, now I think he's a great player, and I think the thing that Toronto risks here is that, you know, Toronto traded Nazem Kadri a few years ago because he'd been suspended in the playoffs twice in a row, and they were mad at him, and they traded him for that reason. And he went and he became a big piece of a Stanley Cup champion in Colorado. And I think that if you were the Maple Leafs, you'd be worried about that happening to Marner too. Him going to a place like Nashville, getting away from some of the craziness that's around him in Toronto. And he could really light it up for you guys there. Like, he could be a great player for you guys. And if I was the Maple Leafs, I'd be nervous about that. So I think they're going to slow down this process, see where it goes over the next month, what he's going to ask for contract-wise, and then make his decision from there.
Now, Elliot, what is the likelihood that the Predators can sign someone like a Marner?
Well, it just depends what everyone wants to sign for, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's going to be a huge deal, Derek. There's no question about that. You know, the Predators will try to sell him on. You know, we can't, you know, maybe the salary structure in Toronto is their story, but that's not the way it's going to be here. And they'll use that the taxes are a lot better in Nashville than they are in Ontario, that's for sure. But it's going to be a big number. You know, I mean, your highest paid player right now is Josi. And, you know, he's probably going to ask for more than that. So it's how comfortable you guys are. Now, maybe he takes less, but I don't know that. I think at the start he asked for more. So, you know, you guys have to see, are you comfortable with that? And, you know, but that's what it costs to get guys who have 100-point seasons and 90-point seasons like this guy has. He's a really talented player. And I think if he leaves Toronto, I think while everybody here will end up regretting it, including potentially Marner himself, I think he could really thrive away from the noise. Like, if he was available, I was an NHL team out there, particularly one who could use, well, first of all, anybody could use a player like him, but a team that is capable of signing a player like him, like you would be, I would be all over the guy.
Elliot Friedman is with us, and kind of piggybacking on the Marner question, in a trade with Toronto, would it have to include UC Saros?
I don't think it has to, no. I could see Toronto being interested in a player like Saros, but, you know, they'll be in the same boat. They'll have to do a contract negotiation as well. I mean, you guys know that. I have to think that Toronto wants to solve its goaltender issue. And so I think Saros would absolutely be a target of theirs, but I think it's wrong to say it would have to be Saros. Like, if Toronto doesn't think that what Saros is asking for is worth it, then maybe they say no, or maybe they have to go in another direction.
It's a good question. Elliot Friedman is with us. So, Elliot, as we listen to Barry Trotz repeatedly in the different interviews, it seems to me the theme I'm hearing is that he has set a course to re-up with Saros until something throws him on a different course. Do you think that's a fair mm-hmm. assessment of what you're hearing?
Well, it just depends on what the number's going to be, right?
Right, exactly. Like, we know that that's going to be complicated, just like you said with Marner. But that's the intention, to try to start down that course.
Yes. But the thing is, and here's the thing here, Willie, you guys know what Saros was looking at. It hasn't been public as far as I know, but you guys knew. You know, like, there was a point last year where you guys were like, I don't think we're going to do this. And, you know, you kind of dialed it back and we'll see where we are. But what Saros is looking for is not a surprise to you guys. So, you know, if you sign him for it, it's either he's relented a bit or you guys have relented a bit. But yes, I do agree that he wants to sign him. I think that if there was a choice there, like an actual choice of what to do, I think you guys would absolutely sign him in a perfect world.
Okay, so here's another question that came up, which is, I think, a good one that we thought, okay, we need to throw this at Elliot. People are looking down the road, and I think there's a lot of things that can happen over 3 years or so, but another theme we're getting from Barry Trotz is Askarov is still a ways away from being ready to be the everyday number one goalie. So there's a gap there for a while. But in a scenario where Askarov maybe does grow into the goalie you hope he does, and he's 25 and he's ready to take the reins, and you've got UC Saros in the middle of a long-term contract, what about the potential no movement or no trade clause that could be part of this negotiation with Saros? How have you found that to be? What does that due to affect negotiations, a partial or full no trade clause as part of the mix?
Well, in a perfect world there, what you do is you say, okay, if you want a no trade or a partial, like for an absolute franchise superstar of a player like Yossi is, he's got the hammer, right? Like you guys gave him, I think he was the first guy you ever gave that protection to.
Yeah, I can't remember if Rene had it. I don't know that Rene.
Yeah, but that was a bit of a different thing. Like I think that one was a little bit, I have to double check that. Maybe, did Rene sign a contract like later in his career?
Well, like it's funny you say that because he signed a 7-year, $7 million contract in 2011 that started,
yes.
It kicked in when he was 30, which is exactly the same age that a new deal for Soros would kick in. Seven for Rene.
I thought Yossi got structure that you guys had never given before. I'll have to double check
that.
Yeah,
Yossi and Forsberg are the two. But no doubt, David Poile was very stingy, did not like giving that out.
Well, the thing is, like with Yossi, it was kind of like a guy, like you kind of had to give him everything, right? Like that was the way it went. He's just a franchise player. I think with Soros, what you do is you say, okay, Yossi, you know, we'll do it, but I'm sure it's going to be a conversation about, is it going to be full for the entire duration of the contract? Can we have some flexibility later? Like, it's not uncommon for a player to say, let's just say it's a 7-year deal for Soros. We want, if you want a no move, can we do it for 4 years, 5 years? And then we get some flexibility for 2 years or 3 years. That's a conversation. Also, the other thing that becomes part of a conversation is, look, if we're going to give you the no move, then you're going to have to give up on something else. Either you give up on term or you give up on numbers. Now, the thing that makes it a little more complicated for the teams like the Predators is that, you know, more and more agents will say, look, okay, if you want to take us a little less money, then you got to give us trade protection because, like, let's just say he gets traded from Nashville after he signs to Toronto. It's a big hit in terms of taxes, right? Now, some things can change that, including where he is most of the time, like your residence. There's always some slight loopholes, but generally you can get hammered on that. So one of the things I think will be, if you want him to take a little less, you have to give him a bit more trade protection. That absolutely comes into the conversation.
We're talking with Elliot Friedman, 32 Thoughts Podcast. Elliot, whenever Tampa Bay made the move that they were in the announcement that they were retaining all of Ryan McDonough's salary, I instantly went to Spotrac.com to check, okay, how much cap space can Tampa Bay possibly have? How could they possibly retain all $6.75 million of the salary and now leaves Tampa Bay with $5 million in cap space? Steven Stamkos is a UFA at the end of this season. After the McDonough trade, do you think that it is more or less likely that Tampa Bay signs Steven Stamkos back? And if they do sign Steven Stamkos, then what in the world are they doing with their cap situation?
You know what? There were some people, Carolyn, who predicted to me when at the end of the season that that's where they thought that Tampa would try to get him to come into the $5 million range. Now, I don't know if that's going to work, and I don't know if that will be successful, but I know that people predicted it. I have to think that if they're bringing back McDonough and running it back, that Stamkos is going to be a part of that. without knowing the financials, and I was told yesterday that there was nothing imminent, and so I'm always afraid of saying that because I hang up the phone and it gets announced and I look like a complete idiot, but I'll go with that for now. I just think it's more likely than not that he's there. Like, one of the things I've kind of wondered about is a guy you know really well there, and that's Tanner Jeannot. It just hasn't worked out very well there. He's been hurt, and it just hasn't been a great fit. And Jeannot is at, 2.6 in that area? I've kind of wondered if maybe that's what they do to try to create a little more room for him. But I just generally feel that the McDonough going there made it seem to me more likely that Stamkos would be back And the way they talked yesterday, it certainly seemed to me that Stamkos would be back.
I still would love to know their capologist and how he's going to try to go about this, because I just don't see how it can be done to keep everybody who's in their core. Somebody from the core, I think, has to go out, even in addition to Janot. That's my math, but they may have got a guy that figures it out better than
Vegas.
Well,
goes
no,
by different
thing
math.
Is, Willie, like, when you go out and you get McDonald like that, it says to me you're trying to win.
Oh, no right? question. No question.
Yeah, so,
but you've got a hard salary cap. Like, I'm curious how they go about this.
So what it says to me is, like, I look at all those guys in their core, and I look at them and I say, who are you taking out that you think you can still win with? Now, look, Carolyn, you asked me, I've been looking at, while I've been doing this, you asked me, like, who could you trade for? Well, if a guy like Anthony Cirelli was available, I don't know how many points he's going to get, but I'd be looking at a guy like that. Like, that's the kind of guy that, you know, if you're looking for centers, that you would probably look at and say that would there would be some interest there. Now, to be honest, if Cirelli was available, Barry Trotz probably would have known that in the conversations that they had last week. It depends on what your number is for Stamkos. If your number is five, then maybe someone like Janot is enough for you to fit in around them. But if the number is more than that, then yes, you are all looking at this and saying, you know, I mean, the other name that people have mentioned to me, they're kind of guessing about is Chernak. But, you know, Chernak is a guy that, you know, he's played very hard for them. He's been, you know, a very good player for them on very good teams. And the other thing about Chernak is, you know, he's a right-hand shot. And, you know, they've got a lot of lefties right now, and especially with the one that they reacquired yesterday. And they don't have a lot of righties with a lot of experience. So, again, I don't know how that really makes sense for them. You know, I have to say, Carolyn, I was thinking about Carolina. And, I mean, look, like, Kuznetsov's there. And, you know, Barry almost traded for him once. So I kind of wondered about him. And, you know, that's another guy that I would maybe wonder about for the Predators.
How about Brett Pesce? Right, a right shot that could go alongside of Yossi. What do you think of that idea?
Oh, I love the idea, but that's good. Another, like, I think they offered him around 5x5, and he turned them down. So that says to me that whatever he's looking at out there, he thinks he's doing better than that.
But if your budget has been 6.75 for McDonough, and you had him at 35 and 36, I could justify going above 5 for a guy who's younger, right shot, to go with, you know, I'm just thinking out loud here.
It's a good thought. It's not the worst thought I've ever heard you have, Willie.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. Now
there
we're getting somewhere.
Not the worst. Pretty good badge.
Good job, Willie.
All right. Stop
conversation starter. That's not
exactly.
Your worst.
Exactly. Good.
Elliot Friedman, 32 Thoughts Podcast and Sportsnet. Elliot, really appreciate your time and appreciate your flexibility with us this week. Whole lot of big picture talks going on in this town, so we always appreciate your insight.
No worries, guys. My pleasure.
Yep. Thank you, Elliot. We'll catch up next week.